Tony, are you there at all?
I'm here. I'm just listening.
Okay, shall we go to my question then?
Where do you want to go, on this computer or on the computer?
No, my question is a technical question, and it has nothing to do with Echolink.
Okay, well, go ahead. I would suggest you stay on the repeater then.
Okay, my question is simple. If you're putting up a loop, a 75-meter loop, it's got to be 282 feet long, and it looks like I'm going to be about 30 feet short of space. And I've heard several suggestions, one of the suggestions being to bring the loop, just make it shorter and use a tuner. Another suggestion was to just go to a convenient point and bring the wire into the center of the loop and out again to get your length, which could make some interesting patterns. Another suggestion was to put a coil on the far side of the loop someplace at hopefully a voltage, a current minimum, and not worry about it. And the other suggestion was bring down a piece of 450 ohm ladder line at one spot in a loop, preferably voltage a current minimum, and make up your length that way. Just bring it down, short the bottom, and put a little insulator across the top, and that would add to your length of your loop. And it would cancel out because, of course, it would be down one side and up the other. Probably cancel some of it out. And the last suggestion was similar to that. Is just bring it over to a tree, drop down 20 feet, because the loop's about 40 feet high, come over, whatever, to the next tree, go up 20 feet to the height of the loop. So you have one little section that's dropped down. That would give you 40 feet more. So whatever distance you need, you just adjust it. Does anybody have any comments, questions, suggestions?
Way am I?
Go ahead, Tony.
Recommend that you take and keep the antenna at the same height. Hold on, I've got an echo in the background. And by keeping it the same height, you're not affecting the installation very well. Just make a diversion of one of the horizontal runs of the wire to another tree or to another tie point, any direction, and run it back and continue the loop like you normally would continue it. But dropping it down or raising it up or running it in a different direction is not going to improve your reception, because it's going to reduce the height of the antenna over that length of ladder line or over the length of the antenna dropping down. Maintain it at the same height, in the center of another pole or another connection that you can make someplace else.
Yes, that sounds good. I could do one to the inside. I'm going to pass the little old lady across from me, the back of me, if I have permission to run. She's the one that's very nice. Maybe I can run it through one of her trees and don't have to worry about it. According to the literature, you want the greatest area enclosed by the loop, which is why I was trying to avoid something coming in. Tony, back to you.
If you then can't run this indentation inward, can you run it outward to the neighbor's tree or to the neighbor's house or something, or neighbor's pole or someplace across the yard? That would increase the area of the loop, the inside area of the loop.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask for permission for that if I can, and if I can't, then I would go in. But we'll see. Anybody else have any questions, comments, or anything on this? Okay, does anybody have any questions, comments, or anything about anything?
reminder about meetings coming up, Noel. Can you expound on that, or do you want me to do it?
Be my guest. The floor is yours.
The Bergen Amateur Radio Association has its next monthly meeting this Sunday night. Even though it's the Labor Day weekend, we will still have a meeting at the Red Cross Building in Ridgewood. Monday night, Sunday night, get there between 7 and 7:30, and enjoy the coffee and the cake, and the meeting will start shortly after 7:30. And this Friday night, normally there's a Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club meeting on Friday night, the first Friday of the month. This month, because of the Labor Day weekend, there will be no meeting this Friday night in Fairlawn. And finally, please try to get your schedules in order and your muscles in order and your mind in order. We're going to have a VHF contest, hopefully, on the weekend of the 12th and 13th of September. That's next weekend, the weekend after Labor Day. So try to work with that. Completely different from amateur radio. I have noticed that the Wheels and Wings exposition at Teterboro is going to be on the weekend of the 19th and 20th down at Teterboro. They'll have a B-17, a B-25, and several other airplanes down there. That's a Saturday and Sunday of the weekend of the 19th and 20th. No meeting that night. Back to that.
Thank you, Tony. And we have one other thing. Tony, would you like to tell us the date and the time of the fox hunt?
China. The fox hunt will be the last Sunday in September. I think it's the 27th, although I don't have the calendar right in front of me. The last Sunday in September, we will have a fox hunt starting from the Westwood High School. I think I know who the fox is going to be, and maybe the fox will make a comment. We're going to attempt to maintain a set of rules that will limit the fox's ability to become a fox. Hopefully, we'll have rules in place and described at the barrow meeting. Back to net control.
The last Sunday is definitely the 27th. It'll be noon at the Westwood High School. And the fox is soliciting suggestions as to eating places at various locations of Bergen County, either a decent pizzeria or a reasonable priced restaurant. The sparrow is paying, and they don't want to overextend. What we're doing this time that we haven't done in the past is we're having rules. The rules will be expounded to us at the meeting by our glorious leaders. The other thing we're doing, which hasn't been done in the past, is we're going to be handing out maps at the time of the fox hunt. We've had some beautiful maps. Unfortunately, when you start drawing all over them with a pencil or ink, your beautiful map doesn't serve too well for future fox hunts. So we're going to use the copy machine at Staples and make copies of the area of the fox hunt. I imagine they're going to make a 3-mile radius, but I'm not sure. What I'm looking for is anybody who would like to suggest restaurants, bring the name and address of the restaurant to the fair meeting, because I'm going to make a list and put 8 or 10 restaurants' names and addresses on it. So when somebody catches the fox, and then hopefully several people come up to the fox, when we decide to go to the restaurant, people can punch the address into their GPS, and we don't lose anybody. I'm trying to make it simple, easy, and that's it. Does anybody else have any questions, comments?
No. Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi.
Somebody talking on the repeater, because the repeater should have blocked them out completely, but they kept talking at the same level in the background. Did anybody else notice that?
Yeah, I hear it as well. I just disconnected from Echo Link. I don't know if Denver's still connected or not, to make sure it's not like the Echo Link is somehow causing it, but I hear it underneath it even while other people are talking, it seems, or you know, while the courtesy tone's going.
Well, the repeater just identified, if it was an external signal from Pennsylvania, Connecticut, whatever, the repeater should have completely overpowered it. I mean, I'm getting the repeater at S9 plus 60 or something like this. I have a GP9 up on the roof that's a 70-foot tall gainer. But no, it's coming through, and I heard it clearly through the repeater identification, David. Anybody else have any questions, comments before we close this?
Come on.
Yes, KF2ID. On these beautiful maps of yours, why don't you put an X mark for the restaurant? And that will solve the problems for those people who don't have GPSs like me.
And also, why don't you put a big X where the fox is so, you know, we can get to the restaurant quicker.
Hey.
Well, I intend to put an X for the various restaurants, but I'm not going to make it obvious. You're going to have to find the fox through the normal RF direction finding. The only question I have is, when somebody gets close, is the fox allowed to go to 200 watts to completely swamp their receiving apparatus so they can't tell which way the fox is located?
Negative, low power, not high power.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking of starting out at 45 watts and then going, well, this thing's 55 watts, then going, I think the intermediate one's 25 and low is supposed to be 5. And when they start getting really, really close, I'll bring out my HT and go to a half watt. Half watt with a rubber ducky. That it should make it easy. When I was hunting for Charles, he was running 2 watts. And even though I had a lab-grade 120 dB attenuator, I couldn't get a direction when I was close. I mean, he swamped me from a distance of several hundred feet. He swamped me. And I think the reason is the coax is 95-98% shielded, and it went through the coax. Even though I have a lab-grade attenuator, which is a solid chunk of metal, and its input and output is fine, it went right through the receiver. In fact, if I disconnected the everything, the HT was picking it up very nicely. So when you're that close, you lose it. The only thing you can do is use a time differential, which will work, or you can use the frequency, basically put a frequency beat tone of 2 megahertz off from the receive signal and receive it up 2 megs, and you can attenuate the signal down that way. Anybody else have any questions, comments? Shall we close the net?
Comment?
Was that somebody or not?
Yep, NS2K. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why the other approach is to use an offset-type attenuator, so the receiver is not actually looking at the frequency where the box is transmitting. There's a mixer and an attenuator as part of an external box. So even if there's leakage in the radio, it doesn't mean anything. It's not a problem.
Yes, and somebody was offering them like $20, $25, I don't remember. And I think I emailed to Tony. He said, hey, let's do a kit project for kit night, because we can buy a dozen of them for $129, I think it was, shipped.
Thank you.
again and present that to our glorious leaders at the meeting, because it would be fun to make those attenuators. I have no problems from a distance. I can do really, really good. But as I said, get close on SWAM. Jim, with your time differential one, do you have a problem? I thought you did pretty good when you were checking down Gordon. You still got him on the line.
At least in school, it doesn't care about total signal strength, because it's just looking at the time difference of arrival. So if there's, how should I say, a reasonably multipath free way, it will, the note will null out in the correct direction. Of course, if there's multipath, there's all bets are off. Of course, that's pretty much true of any kind of directional antenna. NS2K.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed with my directional antenna, the cheap tape measure beam, I didn't have much of a problem because with the multipath, the reflections are way, way down in signal strength.
What a... That's if you're lucky.
Fine.
Okay, anybody got any questions, comments before we go?
Yeah.
Okay, it's time for dinner. So this is N2OEO, operating as K2BR, officially closing the technical net for this evening. See you guys at the VERA meeting. Have a great evening. N2OEO, be clear, QRT.